We've reached the midway point in this season's Champions League group stage. Chelsea and Graham Potter have their first victory in this season's competition. Aubameyang scoring against AC Milan. Juventus and Leipzig got first points on the board. Erling Haaland was shock horror amongst the goals again. Real Madrid had to work to maintain their 100% record. Salzburg and Dortmund picked up crucial victories too, while Benfica and Paris Saint-Germain could not be separated. Let's get into it. Match Day 3 Wednesday in the UEFA Champions League. Welcome along, I'm Rob Daly, and we're going to be looking back on all of the night's action in the Champions League. With me is European football expert Chris Parrott. Chris, hello.
Evening, Rolf.
Lots to get into, eight games, and lots of drama, lots of headlines and great goals too.
Yeah, certainly was. One magnificent performance, I thought, from right wing back for Reece James, youngest Chelsea player ever to both score and assist in a goal. And then Erling Haaland, as you mentioned, of course he scored, but an absolute belting game by the sounds of things. I think we're going to hear about it shortly, but the match between Benfica and Paris Saint-Germain, and Benfica are proving that they are a very, very good team.
Well, let's speak to our commentators as well from our action on the night. Chelsea 3, Milan 0. Richard Kaufman, your initial thoughts?
Big result for Chelsea. Not in the fact that they won 3-0, which is a great score. I didn't think they were necessarily as good as they can be. I think there's room for improvement, which sounds maybe a bit harsh given they've just beaten Milan 3-0. But I think in terms of confidence and belief, under a new manager, you want positive results. So first match, a draw in the UEFA Champions League. OK, you've only just got your feet under the desk. Then you get a late winner at Crystal Palace. OK, good. Maybe a bit fortunate somewhere along the line in that match, you know, the late winner and Silva not getting a red card potentially in that. But tonight, once they got the first goal, there was a chance just before half-time for Milan, but that was it. So defensively, they've snuffed out the opposition, who we have to say are depleted with injuries, but still, they've snuffed out the opposition in front of them, and then they've gone bang, bang in the second half. And now that's just going to build. The confidence will build. Maybe they can go on and beat Wolves at the weekend, go to the San Siro now potentially, and the group looks so different for them. If they'd have got a draw or a defeat tonight, you really wouldn't fancy their chances of maybe getting out of Group E. Now, you could potentially see them winning it.
And John Bradley was watching matters in Group H and joins us as well. 1-1, I don't know how, John.
Yes, I think that we said before this game that Benfica deserved to be playing alongside the elite clubs at this level. They've shown it over the last couple of seasons, and they've shown it again. I mean, it was a game of more than 30 attempts at goal, some real quality shown by both sides, and some outstanding goalkeeping that kept the score down. A couple of bad misses as well along the way, but I mean, hard to pick a winner in a game that ebbed and flowed really from the very first whistle. It really was frenetic stuff, and very passionate out there as well. It sets it up beautifully for the return next week on Match Day 4. Certainly it's one worth watching.
Yeah, only 6 days away. But let's round up what happened on Match Day 3 with the scores. In Group E, Salzburg 1, Dinamo Zagreb 0. Leipzig 3, Celtic 1 in Group F. In Group E, as we mentioned, Chelsea 3-0 against Milan. Group F, Real Madrid 2, Shakhtar 1. Manchester City in Group G beat Copenhagen 5-0. Same section, big win for Dortmund 2, 4-1 at Sevilla. And in Group H, Juventus 3, Maccabi Haifa 1, Benfica 1, Paris Saint-Germain 1. Let's start then with matters at Stamford Bridge. AC Milan with the visitors. Chris Parrott and Richard Kaufman were watching.
Ben Chilwell with the corner, left-hand side. And it's another header from Silva. Follow-up for Chelsea. Aubameyang's in there. It's everywhere. And it's in. It's Wesley Fofana. It was scrappy, but no one from a Chelsea perspective cares. And it's Wesley Fofana with his first goal for his new club. Cross this time from Reece James. Better one. There is Aubameyang. Gets away from Tomori and puts it into a barely open net. Then does the somersault celebration. Chelsea double their lead 10 minutes into the second half.
Brilliant, brilliant ball. Graham Potter doesn't celebrate too much, but he'll be delighted. Very good finish from Aubameyang.
Breaks here to Raheem Sterling. He's got James in support. Reece James, chance, 3-0. Graham Potter's Chelsea have truly arrived in Group E.
Fell to Sterling on the edge of the box. He was patient. He waited for James, who had two options. Did he go across the goalkeeper or did he wait and then thump it in at the near post? Well, he did the latter.
And he was the player of the match as well, Reece James. I wonder if he is actually becoming, for all the attacking talent, Chelsea's best footballer. Reece James, once again, does the business. By the way, for Aubameyang, first Champions League goal for him since December 2017, nearly 5 years, when he was a Borussia Dortmund player. And we'll get to his instinctive finish in a moment, but Richard, but first, let's touch upon the first half and the story around Wesley Fofana, who really was the headline player of that opening 45.
Yes, he was. Fofana, who's kind of had this up and down early career since signing for Leicester. So much has happened within a couple of months of his signing. Red cards, goals.
Goal against Dinamo Zagreb where he couldn't catch his man, yeah.
And now a goal and an injury today for him. So he was the one that was on the end of that. There were three corners in a row for Chelsea. Thiago Silva won the first header every single time. And it was third time lucky as far as Chelsea were concerned because it ricocheted around and in the end fell for Fofana. He tucked it away. Unfortunately for him, about 10 minutes later, he injured his knee. Hopefully it's nothing too serious, but he had to go off in that first half, replaced by Trevor Chalobah.
Yeah, and reiterate that you never want to see someone picking up any sort of injury. And it's one of those that it looked innocuous, but sometimes that can be almost more concerning. But I thought that actually they dealt with the threat from Milan very, very well. That there was the big, big moment right at the end of the first half when, for all the world, it looked like Milan were going to equalise. Radi Krunic with the shot over the bar from, 4 metres out.
A good save by Kepa as well.
Good save from Kepa. And originally it came back and you thought it's 1-1 after an amazing piece of skill from Leao. But apart from that, I can't think of too many clear-cut chances. And particularly in the second half, Milan didn't threaten Kepa's goal at all.
Yeah, missing a number of key players through injury. Milan has to be mentioned. Mm. But in the second half, Chelsea sort of stamped their authority on the game, Chris. And really it was James who led that charge.
Yeah, I mean, he's so good defensively. He's when you watch him live, you realise how big he is, Reece James. I mean, he is one of the physically the most imposing players on any pitch that he's on. He's quick. So he very rarely gets beaten in a one-on-one position. And then and going the other way, he's so powerful and so skillful and he's so hard to stop. And in this system, I think, and they under Graham Potter, they've now played 4 at the back and 3 at the back. Certainly in a 3 at the back, like tonight, when he's given license to get forward, he is really, really threatening. It was his cross for Aubameyang's goal. It was his strike that really made the point safe. And I agree with you. I think he is. I imagine he's the first name on the team sheet for Chelsea. And it's someone that Graham Potter, I think, will improve and will enjoy working with a lot.
It's interesting. I don't like to, you know, bring up domestic matters on a European UEFA matchday live show, but there's been a lot of debate in England, in the UK, about the right back position for England. Trent Alexander-Arnold being left out. The amount of good right backs, English right backs, is quite extraordinary. But I think Reece James is winning the race for Gareth Southgate. And, you know, Trent scored a fantastic goal in the UEFA Champions League last night for Liverpool, be it was a set piece free kick. And I think he's a fantastic player, but you watch Reece James tonight and at the moment I think he does offer a little bit more than Alexander-Arnold. I know Liverpool fans might disagree with that, but you saw tonight defensively up against Leao, top notch, and then obviously in the offensive mode, again 100% as well. He deserved his man of the match trophy that he got and to be named, you know, the top player in this game. He was one of the difference makers for Chelsea, and for England as well, that's a big bonus.
I think the one thing, we mentioned it in commentary, perhaps you wonder whether Rafael Leao was going to swap sides and maybe have a run at Ben Chilwell. Milan didn't try and change anything, well, not that we could really see. It was kind of like, well, let's try and do better at what isn't working at the moment, and Chelsea just completely nullified the threat. And I think every new coach of any club wants a big victory early on in their tenure. It just relieves all the pressure and any of the talk which builds up at clubs like Chelsea very, very quickly. Well, they've just beaten the seven-time winners, Milan. Yes, they had a lot of injuries, but they've beaten them in the end very comfortably. And I think Graham Potter will be very happy and will know that he has an awful lot to build on now.
Aubameyang has 2-2 as well after his weekend goal in the Premier League. Let's hear from one of Chelsea's goal scorers.
I think the first goal was really important. That gave us some strength and, as I said, confidence to play the game. We knew what we had to do against Milan because they have great strikers as well, and I think the defenders made an incredible job today, so that's good.
A former Milan player, very briefly, didn't get any opportunities really there, Aubameyang, but amongst the scorers, what do Milan learn from this game, Chris? I mean, they meet again in 6 days' time. Salamakers, Florenzi, Maignan, Hernandez and Ibrahimovic, of course, a long-term absentee, all out. Can they take much away from it, really?
Very good question. I mean, Olivier Giroud, I can't remember him being involved.
He got a standing ovation when he came off, but I don't remember him getting involved in the play.
I mean, he did so much for Chelsea in this competition and in the Europa League, but I don't think Charles de Ketelaere, who's very talented, young Belgian, but Chelsea managed to stop him playing very successfully.
Yeah, when Diaz came on, didn't he?
Yeah,
you wonder,
a bit
because
more.
It was 3-0, whether, you know, you're not sure how much of an influence at 0-0 he might have had.
Exactly, yeah, very true. But, yeah, I mean, listen, it is impossible to judge Milan without mentioning all of the absentees. Who knows if any of them might be back in 6 days' time. They'll need the crowd at San Siro. Their travelling support was superb at Stamford Bridge. And, yes, it is a defeat tonight. Yes, Chelsea have clawed themselves back up the section table, but this whole group is poised very beautifully, and if Milan win in 6 days' time, they'll potentially be the favourites to go through again.
Yeah, it's interesting because they got the game against Juventus to come in between a stretched squad, and you know, mentally, if they lose, I'm not saying they will lose against you, but imagine they lose against Juventus, suddenly we're talking about how much pressure there is on Chelsea tonight. Well, it would be an equal measure on Juventus, given where they were in this table going into that game too. What I found interesting was, for the first stages of this match, I thought it was very even. Pioli said he wanted to take the game to Chelsea, and I think we saw that in attitude from his team. But once they let that first goal in, I'm not sure if I can be as strong as saying they crumbled, but mentally, I felt like they got deflated.
Couldn't compete.
They got deflated very quickly, and they were second best after that.
Fikayo Tomori, by the way, lining up for Milan, was one of seven Chelsea Academy graduates on the pitch. He says they want to put this game behind them quickly.
Hopefully, next game, you know, we can put a better performance on. Obviously, we know, as I said, they're a strong team with good players, and you know, as I said, first half, I think we actually played, you know, we built up quite nicely. But yeah, I think we're just missing the final touch. And yeah, second half, I think, you know, they killed the game for us and didn't really leave us that many spaces. So hopefully next week, we look at the game today. We've got Juventus on Saturday, which is another big game for us. So we focus on that and, you know, we take this loss. We go to the next game, analyse this game for the return next week. But yeah, obviously it's a disappointment tonight.
Tomori there speaking, the former Chelsea defender now of Milan. Elsewhere in that group, in the early kickoff, Salzburg beat Dinamo Zagreb by 1-0. Noah Okafor's penalty on 71 minutes was the difference. It means that Salzburg topped the group as they get their first win. All four teams in this group have actually got one win to their name. Salzburg 5 points, Chelsea 4 points, Milan 4 points, Dinamo Zagreb 3 points. 6 matches unbeaten at home in the Champions League for Salzburg, by the way. Let's go to Group H next. John Bradley was watching Benfica versus Paris Saint-Germain in Lisbon.
This is Lionel Messi, forward towards Mbappe. Neymar, oh, the shot! What a goal! Oh, it's classic Lionel Messi from the edge of the penalty area. He's bent one into the top corner. Ball delivered towards Gonzalo Ramos. It's deflected, and it's into the back of the net. And Benfica are level. And while the whole stadium and Benfica players celebrate, it's Danilo who has put through his own net.
So two first half goals. The major talking point, there was a number of chances in a very feisty encounter in Lisbon. It makes us excited, surely, for the rematch in 6 days' time, John. But let's address the matter at hand. How did this one finish 1-1?
Astonishing, really. Really good game. Two very good sides. Some outstanding goalkeeping. Some brilliant saves. There was one in particular from Vlachodimos when he tipped a shot just wide of the post, which looked to be arcing into the top corner, and an absolutely stunning one-handed save from Donnarumma to deny David Neres in the first half as well. They were truly world-class saves, but they were just two of numerous saves that the goalkeepers made throughout the course of the night. Defences played pretty well. Big shout out to Antonio Silva, playing only his eighth career game at the age of 18, playing against Messi and Neymar and Mbappe, and he kept Mbappe pretty quiet as well, and had a really good night at the heart of that Benfica defence, where they've had a few problems of late, of course, but they do have their own threats going forward. Gonçalo Ramos is an outstanding young striker, and those three players behind David Neres will be a very good signing for them, and then of course the know-how, the experience of Rafa Silva and João Mario as well. They're very well set up by Roger Schmidt, and they'll be expecting to progress from this group. You know, they're sitting there with 7 points now. Paris Saint-Germain will always be favourites. Juventus are hovering now, aren't they, just behind them. But Benfica, we've known for a couple of years, have been getting stronger and stronger once again at this level, and they're certainly more than comfortable alongside these elite clubs.
Famous old club, Benfica, of course, with a great European history. Listening to it, the atmosphere sounded fantastic in Lisbon. Do you sense that the supporters after tonight, having gone to Turin and already won, are really starting to believe that they can progress in this ultra difficult section and who knows, maybe have a really good run this season?
I think we saw it against Chelsea a couple of years ago, didn't we? And then we saw it particularly in the second leg against Liverpool last season. The growing belief and the fact that they now know that they belong at this level. I'm not just talking about being at the Champions League group stage where they've spent so long. It's competing now in the knockout phase of the competition, to when you're playing the pot one clubs, you know, the traditional challengers for the UEFA Champions League in the group phase, that you can compete with them. And they more than competed with Paris in this game. They started the better. They got out of the blocks very quickly. And Paris's goal by Lionel Messi, which was a stunning, stunning goal, was totally against the run of play. Knocked them a little bit, but they came bouncing back and they got a very good equaliser. Yes, it's an own goal, but it's all about a brilliant delivery from Enzo Fernandez, who looks a very, very good signing from River Plate.
Well, John mentioned one of Benfica's outstanding performers, Odysseas Vlachodimos, the goalkeeper, thinks his side gave a good account of themselves.
I think it was a very nice game. If you're neutral, I think you enjoy to watch this game. I think we deserved the draw. It was an open match. It was difficult, but we showed that we can be on the same level as these top teams, and we will fight in every match, and we keep going.
Despite the heroics of Vlachodimos, he could not deny Lionel Messi scoring. He's now scored against 40 different clubs in Champions League football. The other end, Paris Saint-Germain have conceded at least once in each of their last 11 away games in this competition. 10 points normally gets you out of the group, Chris. How will Juventus feel at the moment? They've just picked up their first points. It wasn't a comfortable win against Maccabi Haifa. Two goals for Adrian Rabiot, two super assists for Angel Di Maria, one of them for setting up Dusan Vlahovic, but it was a tricky night, particularly when Din David scored with a quarter of an hour to play.
They're probably a bit disappointed that it was a draw in the other match in the section, I would think.
Well, you'd almost want one team to run away with it.
I think so. And, I mean, firstly, very, very important win for Juventus. Dusan Vlahovic looked very good. Lots of smiles on the Juve players' faces, actually, and it's been a tricky time. There's no escaping that. What they have is going to be a red-hot atmosphere in Haifa in 6 days' time, where they cause Paris Saint-Germain big problems at home in Israel. And so Juventus will need to win that game, I would suggest, as well. Drop points there, and it really will be a very uphill
battle. Exactly. I'd agree with that. So the group at the moment, Paris Saint-Germain 7 points, Benfica 7, Juve 3, Maccabi Haifa none. By the way, Rabiot's first goal for Juve in 50 matches in all competitions, and he got two.
I know. First one was a fantastic finish on that left foot. He can hit the ball, right? And he really did. And yeah, and then the second was the header. But yeah, I can't recall him scoring two goals in a Champions League.
No, definitely not. Well, he's a hero tonight for Juve. Okay, let's go to Group F next then. It was one of our early kickoffs that we focused on as Celtic visited German club Leipzig. Daniele Fischer-Keller and Stephen Wyeth were watching.
Nkunku is in, and Nkunku is round the goalkeeper, and Nkunku has scored brilliantly. There was not much to aim at. The angle unfavourable, but left-footed, he has steered it between defender and post.
This is rock and roll football. Great stuff.
Kyogo running at the Leipzig defence. He's got support arriving, and there's the equalising goal for Celtic. Dispatched by Jota.
Blistering pace from Kyogo that sees the run of Jota, who just has to slot it into the goal.
A mistake for Celtic, punished emphatically by Andre Silva. Celtic culpable in conceding the goal that does see Leipzig go 2-1 in front. Nkunku, and it's opened up for a pass over the top for Simikan, who controls across the face of goal first time. That is outstanding. A truly exceptional team goal scored by Leipzig, who lead 3-1.
Absolutely exquisite Silva in the right place at the right time. One touch, goal.
So a big win for Leipzig. They are up and running, having lost their opening two group games. They lost their opening home game. Let's not forget an absolute hammering in the hands of Shakhtar Donetsk. Concerning news, though, for the Bundesliga club. Goalkeeper Peter Galacci went off in the 10th minute. The club have confirmed he's torn his ACL and faces a lengthy recovery. Yanis Blasevic, who came on, is going to get his chance. Player of the match was Andre Silva. No surprise, Chris. He got two goals. And there were 37 seconds between that disallowed goal for Szoboszlai and the error from Hart that allowed Andre Silva to make it 2-1. A decisive spell in the game.
Yeah, I commentated on the show for Leipzig away at Real Madrid on match day two. And I sensed, even though they lost the game, that they're going to be a very dangerous team in this section. Something tells me they're going to finish second behind Real Madrid. The change of coach, they played some wonderful football against
Celtic. Yeah, they did, yeah.
The third goal was a real thing of beauty. We know that they, for once really, kept many of their star players this summer. Perhaps have the best squad they've ever had. We know that they're a new club. They weren't formed very long ago at all anyway. But I think once they start going under Marco Rosa, I think they're going to do very well. And therefore, for Shakhtar and for Celtic, and I think everyone is playing for second behind Real Madrid, I wonder whether they would have hoped perhaps that Rosa hadn't come in so quickly and maybe the turnaround had have happened in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, Leipzig with the win and on to 3 points. Celtic bottom of the group on 1 point. Shakhtar on four because they lost 2-1 at Real Madrid. Gave a good account of themselves, the Ukrainian side. They were 2-0 down to goals from Brazilian players inside half an hour. Rodrigo with the first, finished his fourth goal of the season. And then Rodrigo with a lovely little assist. He guided the ball into the path of Vinicius Jr. To make it 2-0. Zubkov with an acrobatic volley, made it 2-1, passed a Ukrainian goalkeeper in it, Andrei Lunev in goal for Real Madrid, but they held on for the victory and they have their 100% record in the competition. Rodrigo, player of the match as well. So Real Madrid top with 9 points. Manchester City have 9 points as well. They're in Group G, 5-0 winners against Copenhagen. Erling Haaland with two goals. Chris, we're running out of stuff to say about him, really, aren't we already?
Every match, you just expect this the one when he won't score, and then every time he carries on. I mean, the fact that he could, had he been on the pitch and not taken off at half time, he didn't
look happy either. Apparently.
No, but they won a penalty, and he potentially would have had another hat trick. But you know, I almost you can't not talk about his Champions League record. It's just absurd with three clubs. We've never seen a goal scorer from his debut score as many goals, and he is, well, we know that he gives Manchester City that different point of attack, that explosiveness, but also we saw their normal goals that we've seen under Pep Guardiola for years, right? The classic cutback and then someone finishes it off. So they're going to take some stopping. Copenhagen know that they are well behind Dortmund now in the race, perhaps for second with Sevilla, but They won't come up against a team as good as Manchester City every week this season in the Champions League.
Well, they come up against them next week.
I said that and I thought, 6 days of time, yeah.
Well, he didn't get on the score sheet. He should have done. Jack Grealish, he was the player of the match. A fine performance for City.
The most important thing for me was playing well and obviously, first of all, getting the win for the team. So I'm happy with both of them. I feel like, you know, now I'm finding my feet here, playing with a confidence and a swagger that I know that I had before. You know, a year later, I feel like, you know, now I'm playing with that confidence and I'm loving it at the moment, really enjoying it.
You just see him looking to the sky as saves were made and shots are going wild. He's just thinking, how do I get on the score sheet? He couldn't. Julian Alvarez, by the way, did score his first ever Champions League goal to make it 5-0, a penalty for Riyad Mahrez as well in the game. Convincing City, unsurprising. Erling Haaland, 28 goals now in 22 career appearances in the Champions League. As Chris mentioned, we've never seen this before. He now has more career goals in the competition than the great Luis Suarez, a Barcelona legend, let's not forget. The other game in the group was full of goals as well. Sevilla 1, Borussia Dortmund 4. Jude Bellingham was the captain again, as he was at the weekend against Köln, and the 19-year-old was player of the match, having scored, though he thinks the award should have gone to a few others in the Dortmund team.
I think for a start, the defenders and Alex were absolutely brilliant tonight. You know, I've got this maybe because the goal, the assist, and, you know, I thought I'd done well, but those guys at the back were a different level today. It was a pleasure to watch them defend. You know, they would rather come off with injuries than concede, and unfortunately they conceded one, but still, you know, you look at the reaction compared to the game on Saturday where we continued to concede, those guys weren't having it, so they were top class.
Spoken like a true captain there, Jude Bellingham. Even at 19, he wants to give the award to everybody else. A couple of Midland's finest, actually, with Bellingham and Jack Grealish on the show. Okay, so to explain what happened in the game, Rafa Guerrero's super left-foot strike from outside the box to put Dortmund ahead early against the Sevilla side, fourth from bottom in Spain. Bellingham, lovely solo run, toe poke, made it 2-0. Adeyemi with a tap-in for 3, and Naziri pulled one back. He was sent off in the first half, but that red card was rescinded. And then Julian Brandt, who scored at the weekend against Köln in a 3-2 defeat, made it 4-1. Dortmund face Bayern next. The kind of result really they needed, Chris, going into Der Klassiker.
Yeah, absolutely. And that they were playing against a team in Sevilla who have not had a particularly good start to the season. And you know, this was a game that you thought Dortmund were favourites for, despite the fact they're away from home, and they are positioned very nicely. And we have to mention Bellingham. He speaks like a 25 or a 30 year old. And again, he was magnificent. And as we are speaking now, we can confirm that Sevilla have parted ways with Julen Lopetegui. There was a lot of talk before this match that this could be his last game in charge. Of course, he managed him for 170 games. At the end, he gave a goodbye to... We were watching it. It looked like a goodbye,
yeah.
And he was, you know, beating his chest. The fans were applauding him back. So it's nice that he had that moment before he departs the club. So Sevilla are going to have someone else in charge in 6 days' time when they go to Germany. And you would think that they are battling with Copenhagen now for third place and a spot in the Europa League, which, of course, is their competition.
He won it. Group G looks like there's City 9 points, Dortmund 6, Sevilla 1, Copenhagen 1. Let's turn our attention quickly back to Group E. Chelsea and Graham Potter have a first win in the Champions League.
I thought we started off a little nervous, maybe 5 minutes, which is probably just a result of us wanting to do so well so much. But then you saw the appetite of the players, that we sort of got control of it, offered a bit of a threat, sort of pushing before the goal. The goal's important, I thought, the first goal, obviously. And then we had to start a little bit on the back foot in the second half, but suffered a little bit, which is good. And then obviously to score the second goal gives us a bit of a breather. But overall, can't complain, clean sheet, 3 goals. Great personality of the players, really good.
Graham Potter speaking there, Richard, a relief man to get that first Champions League win.
Yeah, it's a big thing for him. He won't want to get too overexcited, will he, in the interview? But I'm sure deep inside he'll be relieved and overjoyed.
He certainly will. Okay, that's all we have time for. Thank you for listening as we reach the midway point in this season's UEFA Champions League. Remember to join us from 6 p.m. CEST every night of the competition. We have live commentary, interviews and analysis. We'll be back in just 6 days' time. That's the way the Champions League is working this season, and rematches of everything we've seen tonight, including Milan versus Chelsea at San Siro. Can't wait for that one. Remember to download our podcast shortly after every match night via your favourite provider. From me, Rob Daly, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.